So you get a bunch of people that are combative, that are hanging out like this, and they're all kind of cutting each other down. Sooner or later, somebody has to win. Someone has to be the most combative. This is where you get competitive people. This is an 8 on the scale, competitive value. These are people who, this is by far, I think, the toughest kind of person to deal with. Because it's tricky. They're not always mean. They're not always as obvious as a combative person. But these are people that always have to win. These are people who are always one-upping. You know, you hooked up with a girl, they hooked up with a hotter one. You know, you caught a fish, they caught a bigger one. You took a shit, they took a bigger one. Like, you know of a band, they heard of them earlier. You know, you went to a festival, they went to that last year. You know, they always have something better to talk about. They want to feel like they've won something. And they get their value by feeling like they've won it. By feeling like they played some sort of game and they won. They're competitive. They usually like to have a lot of attention. They kind of hog the attention of the group. And if they're getting attention, they feel good. If they're not getting attention, they act like babies. They're sore losers. If they feel like they've lost in anything, they'll be really uncooperative. They'll be really sour. And it's really tough to deal with someone like that. Because what they're really saying, what they're conveying is, I'm better than you. They're trying to say, I'm better than you. And if I feel like I'm better than you, then I'll feel like I won value. I'll feel valuable if I think I'm better than you. That's what they're saying. And it's tough to deal with that because if you play their game, they're playing some sort of game in order to feel like they've won. They need to win at the game that they're playing. And their game, whatever their game is, if you play it with them, let's say the game, I live in LA, and a lot of people there are really into music. There's a big music scene there. And people can get really competitive about what bands they've heard of or what bands they know or what shows they go to. And you say you went to a festival and saw this band, and they'll be like, oh, I knew of them earlier, you know? I've been to this show, I've been to that show. And it starts to become this kind of like dick measuring game where they're basically saying, my dick is bigger. Like, I've been to more shows than you, I've been to more bands than you. Like, they get their value by thinking that they know more about music or been to more shows than you have. It's really obvious when you see it happening, and it's annoying. But if you play that game and you try and beat them, only two things can happen. Either you win, and you know more than they do, and you prove that you knew more, in which case, like I said, they're sore losers. They're going to get really pissed off. They're going to turn into a really difficult 7, a really difficult combative person. They're not going to like you or respect you because they lost, and they wanted to win. But if you play the game and you lose, and they win, and they feel like they're better than you, they'll never respect you. They'll feel like, oh, I'm better than that person. And they'll never be able to see you as a 10 or see you as a high-value person because they think they're better than you. So what you have to do is give them a compliment that gives value and makes them feel like they've won value without playing their game. So that, in the case of music, I guess, that would be something like, instead of saying, oh, I did this, I did that, I did this, say something like, wow, like, you have a lot of knowledge about music. I'm going to have to go to a show with you sometime. That'd be fun, you know? I gotta steal some music from you sometime. Your record collection must be amazing. You know, something that feels like whatever they're talking about, it gives them that respect and that feeling like they won value from you without actually playing in the game and winning or losing. Just saying, oh, that's really cool. I like that about you. People do it a lot about like partying or what clubs they go to or what bars they've been to or what party they were invited to. And you can just, instead of playing that game with them, just say, wow, I gotta party with you sometime. You obviously know what you're doing. Something along the lines of that. It can be really tricky until you kind of see it in action and see it happening. It's kind of like you're playing this a different game. You're not playing the game they're playing. You're playing a different game outside of the game that they're playing. But when you do this, usually they'll stop trying to one-up you. They'll stop trying to be better than you. And they'll feel like, oh, okay, we're on the same level. That's cool. And they'll cooperate with you. And they'll start to see you as a 10, which is what you want for everyone. Is that making sense so far?
Totally.
You guys have probably all met people like this. I think we've all probably been a person like this at some point. I've done all of these things. I've been a 6, I've been a 7, I've been an 8. Like, every time I catch myself doing it now, I'm like, ah, shit. I'm trying to one-up somebody or be better than them or something. I don't need to do that, you know? And it's important to realize that this is a sliding scale, you know? At any one point, you're being one of these things. You want to make sure that you're being a 10, you're being at the top level, which I'll talk about in a second. But under stress, under a lot of stress, you'll drop down on this scale. You know, if you have a competitive person, and you beat them at their game or whatever, they're going to drop down and become a 7. And it could be really difficult with you. If you are a dick, a big enough dick to a 7, and you're more of a dick than they are, they'll drop down and become a complete wuss around you. They'll be completely submissive and miserable. They'll turn into babies. You know, like, under enough stress, you'll always fall back on the scale. So you want to make sure that you're always aware of this and that you're constantly in the point of giving value to everyone else, which I want to talk about now. So once you understand how to give value to everyone else, you become a 10. Because a 10 is what we call cooperative value. Cooperative value just means that you only get value when you're giving it to someone else. You get value by giving. It's kind of like the golden rule. I know it sounds so cliche to always come back to, like, do unto others as you would have done unto you, but it really is the truth, that if you give value to other people, you'll get it back in return, which is really, really powerful and really attractive. This is what every girl really wants. This is the kind of guy that every girl is after. And basically what you're saying as a cooperative person, as a 10, is you're awesome. And it's really easy to spot these people because they're always making everyone around them feel good. And people like being around them. You know, a 10 walks into the room and everyone feels better and is more happy because they're there. Because they're making everyone else feel better. And when they leave, there's a void. They leave a void and everyone doesn't feel as good when that person's not around. You know, they're natural leaders. When you're a 10, you're a leader. People will follow you. You'll be the center of a social group. Because you're always making everyone around you feel good. And when people don't know how to make themselves feel good, they follow the person who does it for them, which this is the person you want to be. And the cool part is that when you make everyone else feel good, it makes you feel good in return. You get value by giving it to other people. So when you know how to compliment a 6 and make them feel accepted, or a 7 and give them respect, or an 8 and make them feel like they're on your same level, you know, you're giving them all value, and you're giving... easiest thing in the world to compliment a person who's a 10 is to just tell them, give them a compliment. You're awesome. I like this about you. This is great. Like, and they'll give it back to you. Oh, thanks. You're awesome too. I like this about you. You know, it's a constant cycle of, like, you're giving and you're getting and you're giving. And it becomes this self-perpetuating cycle. Every time you give value, you get some back in return. And you start to feel like you have this unlimited source of value within you. Always within you. It's not from anything external to yourself. Your value, your personal happiness is coming from within you, and you're giving it out to everyone else. My friend Kevin likes to say that if you had a box with an infinite number of brownies, you know, you have a million brownies, you've never run out of brownies, why wouldn't you go out giving them to everyone? You would just keep giving them to everyone, and you'd never run out. That's what we're talking about here. You're just giving out brownies. And when you see us walking around the bar and talking to different people, that's what we're doing. I don't think I said anything to anyone last night other than, you're really cute, you're really nice, I like your style, or something specific that I noticed about them. Everything was positive, complimenting, and it was combined with all of the body language that we're talking about, and, you know, we're kind of in a lot of the touch and the flirting and the banter, but every time I'm in a group of people or talking to somebody, I'm giving them value somehow. And as we walk around the bar doing that, you know, handing out brownies to everyone, everyone feels good as we go by, and then we leave, and they miss us. When we come back, they're like, oh, it's you again. Hey, I'm so glad you came back, you know? And you start to have everyone around you, you're kind of like opening up little pockets of people who all feel good when you come around, and they miss you when you're gone. And in turn, it makes you feel good to be doing that. And this is something that we do in our lives. This isn't just something we do when we go out. This is something we do all the time. So you're in line at the grocery store, you give the person behind the counter a compliment, you know? You're walking down the street, you know, I think I saw a girl on the train last night and she smiled at me and I said, oh, you have a really nice smile. I didn't even think, that's just how I felt, and she felt good for that, and we started talking, you know? Like, you're just always in the mode of giving value, and the world will just give it back to you everywhere. This is how, we're not trying to do this, but this is how we get free shit. People will always want to give you value back. When you've given them value, they'll always want to find some way to give it back to you. And usually that's, let me buy you a drink, you know? Bartenders in our neighborhood that we go to a lot will give us free drinks all the time because they want to somehow give us value back, and that's how they do it, you know? This is how people will treat you like a VIP. And we're not trying to get treatment like this. We don't need it. But that's just the result of giving value to everyone, is that you start to get it back. And you'll notice in life, the more you give value, the more things just start happening to you. Because people want to give value back. They really do. So yeah. Oh, and so the difference, the top level I'm saying is a 10. We call it like a 9 or a 10/10, and the difference is who you're talking about. So when you're referring to yourself, and you're thinking about yourself, you want to be looking at yourself as a 9. And the reason is, if you think you're a 10, you'll start to think that you're at the top, and that you already have everything you need, and you'll stop working at giving value. You'll get complacent, you'll think you're there. And when you stop working at giving value, what happens? You slide back down. You slide back down the scale, and you stop being a 10. When you're talking about other people, or we're talking about anyone else, they're 10s. And 10s are people that you want to seek out, you know, guys or girls. These are people that you want to be friends with. It's really easy to notice them because they're leaders. They make everyone feel good. When you're walking around the bar and you're meeting people, you want to meet a couple of 10s and befriend them. Have them on your side. It's really powerful to have a group full of 10s just all hanging out. That's the best thing in the world. That's what we strive for in our social life, is to just have a bunch of 10s hanging out, all making each other feel good. Everyone's giving value. And it's really the best way to be. Is this making sense so far, by the way? You guys understand this?
Question, I mean, how often do you come across a girl that's a 9 or, I mean, a 6 or a 7?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. A lot of girls are 6s. They really just want to be accepted. You know, you find people all over the place. But, and the more people you meet, the more patterns you start to see. You start to notice it just in their body language and the way that they interact. And this is why you need to approach and interact with a lot of people to start seeing these patterns. But, yeah, a person who's a 6 will have submissive body language. They won't look comfortable. Everything we're telling you not to do, if you see that in other people, they're being submissive. They're not comfortable. They don't feel like they're worth being there. They don't feel like they're worthy of attention or value. And if you give that person value, sometimes you'll notice that their body language opens up and they feel better because you just made them feel accepted, which is what they wanted. Plenty of girls I know are 7s. They're combative. They talk a lot of shit. They're really sassy. They're really, like, you'd think that they're mean until you understand. They're not really mean, but they act that way. Guys are always like, God, you're such a bitch. They're not really a bitch, but they come off that way. Because they're always talking a lot of shit, you know? You'll meet people all over this. Yeah. Yeah.
So the main thing to do is, like, give compliments.
Yes. A compliment is really valuable. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to get value. You can do it in other ways, too. You can do it by introducing somebody. Introducing two people that don't know each other.
And saying, hey, that's my awesome friend.
Yeah. You know? Or even if it's not your awesome friend, if it's like a guy and a girl who you don't know and they don't know each other, you can just introduce them.
Okay.
And you've given them value, assuming, and like facilitate them meeting or having an interaction, you know? Introducing people or like bringing them into your circle. We had like a group of people hanging out last night. We're having fun, pulling people in to that fun, giving them fun. Anything you do that makes someone else have fun is valuable. I mean, that's why we go out, really. That's why people go out to drink, to a nightclub, to dance, because they want to have fun. They don't want to think about anything serious or talk about work or what they did that day. They're there to have fun. And if you can make them have fun by being around you, you're giving them value. That's what they want. You're making them feel good. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to give value. But the best way is to make someone else have fun, feel good being around you, or to give them a compliment. That makes sense? Cool. Should we do exercises or just skip over?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that about wraps up what we're talking about for value. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, a couple things. I want to stress the fluidity of value. It's not like you are a number and then you're stuck there. That is not how it is. In any given moment, you're deciding to be whatever value level you are in that moment. So if you are acting like a 6, then you're a 6. That's how it is. If you're acting like a 7, then you're a 7. It's not like you get stuck in one place and you have to crawl up a ladder or you know, work on... If you're a 7, you have to work on being an 8 next, and you have to work on being a 9 after that. It's not like that. You just have you have an option in any moment to be a 10 or not. And if you're not a 10, you're not very attractive. And if you are, then you are the most attractive person there, unless there's another 10. This is, and in this way, I have been able to be the center of attention in places where that wouldn't make any sense. You know, where there are other guys there that have a lot of social value, and I don't have any social value, and I come in as nobody, or like obviously not fitting in, but I act like a 10, and then within a matter of 10 minutes or less, I am the most desired man in whatever area that we're at, because I know how to manipulate value, myself and value skill. So all of you have this ability. Just to kind of give you an idea, though, if you're going to focus on being a 10, which is like you're always your goal, you know, forever is being acting like a 10 and being 10, then the thing to do is not to think about the rest of the value levels at all. Don't even consider 6, 7, and 8 at all. You just always act like a 10. Always. In every moment. In everything you do, you're always giving value. This is at the core of everything. This is the sort of a heartbeat that runs the social world. This is the thing that this, you know, every time I do this, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like the whole web of lies that makes up the social realm around us. It's all built on top of this concept. This is the idea I think I told you guys yesterday, that if you believe you're hot shit, you are hot shit, kind of, you know, how that is. Well, this is like at the source of that. This is how you act like you are, you know. There's a lot of psychology going into this. Like, I could break it all down for you, but really, it'll just cloud your mind. And you don't really need to know all that stuff. Why a 10's so attractive, and you guys know enough now already. So the thing to do now is to take action with this, to apply this to your life, to be this guy all the time. I think we should do exercises now that I think about it.
Okay.
Just not like a long wind exercise, just like a practice like we did last time in London. We have an odd number of people. So, Brad, do you mind joining in on the exercise?
No.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I was just spectating. You just like stabbed me out.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
What we'll do is I'd love for you guys to pair off. So, why don't you just make it easy, you two, and then you two at the end, you with Brad. And what you'll do is, Brad, you'll go first. Jacob, you'll go first. And then Alberto, you'll go first as well. And I want you to give value to the person you're talking to. And the way that you do this is, the easiest way to do it is to look at them for a second, and then whatever the first positive thing that pops in your mind about them that's not, like, obvious. Well, it can be obvious, like, hey, you have great style, or they like your stuff, something you're wearing, whatever. But don't make it like you seem really nice. That's kind of vague. Something a little more specific for them. Like, if they seem nice, why? Why do they seem nice? Like, you can say, you seem nice, and I think the reason why I feel that way is because blah, 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 right? But you have to practice doing this all the time. So we'll practice now, just like, Brad, you want to pull your chair over?
Yeah.
You guys can pair off. Like I said, Brad, you start first, Jacob first, and Alberto first. And you guys just give value. Alberto, you'll be giving value to Ivan, of course. Jacob, you to Renee, and you guys have all of it. And then whenever you're done, switch. And then the other person can give value back. And we'll do this a couple times with different people, and you'll get a sense about how to tap into this value. Because really, it's the hardest part is seeing the valuable shit in other people, because it's so easy to see all the negative stuff, like the annoying things. You have to like build this part up so this is the most obvious thing about them, that you can tap into it and say it immediately. As long as it's on the forefront of your mind all the time and you're always thinking about it, then you'll be able to pull it out instantly, and when you pull it out, you can use this to create value for yourself. In this way, I can walk into a bar and no one will look at me. This is that, if I don't build value up at all, I can walk into a bar and no one will even pay attention to me whatsoever. I can disappear completely in a bar, and no girls will talk to me, no guys will talk to me, or if they do, no one like sees me as a threat or anything, because I can change my value level. I can decide what value level I want to be at. If I'm a 10, everybody looks at me, all the girls want to talk to me, and every guy is my friend. But if I don't want to go interact with a bunch of people, I just am not 10. You know?
That's
I don't
the
that.
Sunshine you were talking about, Alberto.
So why don't we go ahead and get that started now. We'll do that a couple times, and we'll switch, and then we'll see how you guys feel, okay? All right, go ahead.
All right. So between us, I thought we told you to do it one at a time.
No, it'll be the two of you.
You guys are.
Okay, guys, wrap it up here. All right, stay where you are, though. What we're going to do is you're going to walk down where Brad is. Brad, you're going to come where Jacob is, and Jacob, you're going to come here. So we'll all switch. Alrighty, and then I want you guys to do the same thing again. Just start. You guys can decide where you want to start, and then just go through the same process again, okay? And kind of get a feel for different people now, because it's entirely different when you have a new person. It's a little bit nerve-wracking, kind of. At times to see someone new and they have to do this all over again, but the more you get used to doing this with new people, the easier it'll be for you to do it with someone you've never met, obviously. That makes a lot of sense. So do it again real quick and keep going. This is probably the most important thing you'll learn here.
Hey,
Matt,
how are you?
Okay, so It's only because you're in a new situation. And if you can get it to a point in your mind where anytime you get uncomfortable, you have a massive pause instead of saying, I'm guilty, everyone's guilty of this. I had to go through and redo this when I was getting on the radio.
Would that be a good opener? You know, just go and say, I like this part, you like your smile.
You can, yeah. It depends when, though. If it's during the daytime, it'll go over easier than it will at nighttime.
Because they don't believe at nighttime, they think you're looking for something. Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Their guard is up at nighttime. So during day game, you can lead with this, and it's really powerful. You can do this today if you want to. That would be a really great way to start it out. Let me think. But you want to start out with I got to get back to my friends in just a minute. Like, remember that one. That's a really powerful opening phrase to start your conversation with, because that gets rid of most of the rejection triggers that she might have, you know. So I'm going to go into just go straight into the next thing. We have a lot of stuff to cover, and this next thing is very technical, so you're going to take a lot of notes on it. I'm going to go over touch and negative body language, which are two of the most important parts of interacting and creating attraction. Okay, while you're going, I'll just talk about everything, and then you won't miss anything important. So, were you two talking about something weird? What was going on?
Yes.
What was it?
Josh tried to give me a...
Jacob,
sorry. Like a high five or something last night, and I dodged out of the way of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like it was strange, so I guess.
Okay, so what happened? Like, why?
I got a shoulder injury, but honestly, if we're being completely honest, I don't like being touched by you. I'm sorry.
A high five?
No, a shoulder pat.
Oh, okay.
It's like, hey, what's up, man?
Like, okay.
I mean, I get it. If you don't like it, cool. You don't have to. I was just trying to be friendly with you. And
yeah, just don't like it.
What, is it just him?
Just him.
Okay,
yeah,
that's strange.
You know, like, you have to,
I don't think that there's any reason why that should happen. I mean, there's no logical reason, so what's
there's
going
no
on?
There's no logical reason.
Well, then what is it then? It's an emotional reason?
Probably.
Well, then what's the reason behind it?
I sense trying to be dominated. I don't like it.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. That's fantastic. Okay, so.
And I don't get that from any other of these guys.
Okay, great. So I would probably guess that was you plowing over. That's probably how it is. But, I mean, either way, you're both going to have to deal with this. If you move out of the way, you're being submissive. And so everyone sees that. That's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
I mean,
for you.
It's no problem. If you move out, I'm like, okay, he's not into me. But for you, it's the problem. You have to move out.
Yeah, no. No, don't. It's not like that. It's not like it's only a problem for him and not for you. Now you have a problem, too. Because your goal by doing that was to have like a more of a connection, not less of a connection. So you both lost on that. You know what I mean? So there's both of you are going to have to change something around what you're doing there. Otherwise, that will own you. You'll be running away from that always. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, though, and I get that. Like, in the past, I would just sit there and take it and go, okay, but I feel like shit.
Right.
So just accept it and move
yeah.
on?
Yeah. Well, no. That's like a... I mean, you could accept it and move on, but that's not really going to help either.
Yeah.
Well, there's something else there. Like, the idea that someone's patting you on the back is probably in your mind feeling like a false sense of brotherhood or some kind of like they're luring you in to feel like you're accepted.
No,
you don't feel accepted.
That it's a false sense of superiority that they...
Yeah, but I don't get... No one really pats on the back for superiority, though, that I know of, unless it's condescending.
Condescending, that's the word.
Okay, so that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about here. So if it's like... If you feel like you're being condescended toward...
Yes.
How do you handle it? That's what you don't know the answer to that question yet.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So
you got the question. Great.
Okay.
I didn't have a question.
No. This is the way that things elude us. The question eludes us, not the answer.
Yeah.
The answer is pretty simple. You know.
Okay.
Now that you know the question, you can probably figure it out on your own. But we'll talk about it anyway. having a with, when you feel like someone's condescending toward you, I found, because I used to think this all the time, especially on people who had money when I was younger, because I didn't have any. What I found was that that was actually about 90% of the time that wasn't happening. And if you pretend like it isn't happening, then the effect that it would have otherwise, like the condescending part, really what it's about is not the person condescending towards you, because that can happen, right? It's not a big deal. Because you can go, oh, that person's a dick, but it's really about everyone else seeing that and then you having to play a role now of, like, being the inferior person.
Right.
That's where all the problems come in.
Okay.
So what I realize is that no one else sees that. So it's something in your mind that's getting that. I know you didn't mean that. So there's a disconnect here where
mm-hmm.
you're expecting it, which tells me that you get that often. Like, you're condescending to it often.
I used to.
Oh, okay, yeah, great. You used to, exactly. So that's something that is just residual, you know? So you have to just remind yourself that that's not what's happening. Even if it is what's happening, just assume that it's not. I know it's weird. Is that a weird thing to say? Because that's kind of a... It's like, I'm not saying get over it at all. I'm saying that if you're going to assume something, assume that they're trying to get your attention or get your approval. Because what will happen then is when they see... When people see body language subconsciously, and they'll be registering like an interaction between two people, right? So if you have a reaction in your mind that says, oh, they're condescending toward me, right? Your body language automatically reacts to that. And so now people who are watching think that's what happened. You know, that's what happened.
Right.
And so then they think that you're someone who gets condescended toward often. But if you don't do that with your body language, if instead you you can't control your body, like, okay, this is actually really important, so I'll just say this now.
Okay.
I took this out of my curriculum, but it's worth mentioning. So attraction is created almost solely by body language. So body language is most of what creates attraction. What creates body language is emotion, and what creates emotion is belief systems. Okay? So it's like a hierarchy. So the way to actually create attraction is not through just changing your body language, but through changing your belief system, which changes your emotion, which changes your body language, which creates attraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you start from the very, very base level, and then that changes everything on the way up. That way you're not incongruent. Because the worst thing is feeling an emotion and then having to do body language that was opposite of that. Because then you're like, you feel like you're totally out of your element. You know what I mean?
Okay. I do that a lot.
Yeah, okay. So the belief system is what you want to change, not the body language necessarily. You can still change the body language too. And you know now, I know you know this, but trying to change the emotion doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know? Don't feel that way. Well, I fucking feel that way, you know? But emotions aren't the bottom line. The bottom line are beliefs that you have. There's things beyond beliefs too, but there's not much there in the world, in this world, so it doesn't really matter, right? Beliefs are the thing that create all of your actions and all of your emotions. So if you want to change the way you feel, you change what you believe, and that creates a new emotion based around that. So in this case, your past called you to believe that that would happen to you naturally, but now you can choose a new belief. I would choose to believe that that's so outside of your reality that it would never happen. No one condescends towards you. That's silly. And it would be really shocking to you to find out that someone was condescending, right? So you just, it's almost like giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, but it's not for them, it's for you. Does that
okay.
make sense? It's not like going, oh, well, because if you think I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, if they're being a dick, you don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? It's like, I don't want to do that for you.
So a specific situation, then how do you just like, take it and move on? Or
no,
like,
no. So
oh, hey, what's up?
Taking it won't happen. Okay, so as long as you have an emotion, the situation is created by the emotion.
Right.
Like you get a weird feeling about something. So if you have that emotion, it's already happening, you know? So if you want to change that, the best thing you can do in that moment is pretend like it didn't happen. Like pretend like nothing just happened at all.
Okay,
you.
As if it didn't happen at all.
Yeah, because you wouldn't even care if you weren't thinking about it. It wouldn't even register with you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's how a person, like if someone came behind me and put their hand on my back and like patted me and they were being condescending, they were like, it's okay, baby. You know?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? Like I would act like that did not just happen. And what usually happens is that people who are watching, because the person who's doing this to you, if they are actually being condescending, then it doesn't, you don't care about them, right? So,
yeah.
So you're not trying to make them feel worse or better. The only thing you could do to someone you don't care about is ignore what just happened. You just ignore it. That's the thing you do
okay. For
real. If you do care about something and you don't like it, then you react negatively. If you do like it, then you act positively. That's like giving investment. But if it doesn't mean anything to you, then you just do nothing, you know? You might turn and smile and be like, "What's up?" You know, like something that has no, something that would have zero reaction for you. You know, I had to go through all of my reactions to other people and tear them down piece by piece, like every single one of them, because I had a lot of like weird flinches. You know, like if a guy walked by and he was like really macho dude, and he was like that to me when I was younger, I would have went like I had these weird flinches like this. You know. So I had to train myself to do the opposite, to go, if it was like this, if I had to be like, yeah, or like, fuck yeah, or something that totally was out of character, you know?
Okay.
In London a few days ago, Connor and I went to a bar on one of the nights after the program, and I walked in, and I was just standing around, and this guy was like, he just turned, and he was like, "You tall, long-haired cunt." And I was like, "Hey, man, how's it going?" He's like, "Cheers."
Usually there's nothing beyond that. That's like, that's a seven. That's like how you might deal with a seven, you know?
Okay.
That's
okay.
An example of a seven. I mean, Jacob wasn't being a seven, but you were perceiving one. Mm. And actually, Jacob was probably just trying to keep his and your state up, actually. He's probably just trying to like make sure everyone's stoked.
What I'm interested in is, why did you feel that I was trying to be dominant?
That could be interesting, but at the end of the day, honestly, that's just going to perpetuate the negative behavior, knowing why or trying to dive into it.
Okay.
Don't even worry about it. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter why it's an old habit, you know? That's just been, it's still sticky. It's there from forever ago, you know?
Oh, I was thinking about what I should change in my
behavior. Oh, and your behavior. Okay, so that's, I can answer that, too.
Okay.
So whenever you do, anytime you approach anybody, you have to consider that they're somewhere on that value scale. You didn't know this yesterday, really. It was in the forefront of your mind, so you weren't thinking about this. If you don't know where they are on the value scale, assume they're a six. Always, right?
Assume they're a six.
Yeah, always. Because you can't go wrong with that, really. Because once, if you give them value, like you would a six, which is really simple to do that, then you have to be sincere, you have to be open, you have to be accepting of them, and you won't do something that will sort of make them feel like they're not good enough, whatever, right? Everyone's got these hidden little insecurities like this. Everybody does. And you won't know when you touch on one. It's like you're walking through a minefield. So you want to look out for things, you know? If someone starts to move away, you have to match body language. Like, you have to know what to do with your body. If someone moves away like that, like if I did that to you and then you moved away, you know, which you wouldn't do. I don't think you would, because I have really accepting eyes. Like, I would be able to go, "Hey man, what's going on?" And I'm genuinely asking you a question, you know? What you're probably doing is you're thinking about yourself in your head. Like, okay, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, you know? And then you're in your own head a little bit too much. So instead of being there with the person, and you've got a hypersensitive awareness of authenticity, probably. So, you know, it kind of exacerbates because of that, but ultimately you won't know when someone does. Most women have this same thing, you know? So what I usually do is I don't take unnecessary risk. This is kind of a thing I learned when I was living in New York City, through business. Actually, it was a business thing I learned, just don't take unnecessary risk. Meaning that there's a lot of things that you can risk and it's okay, but every time you risk something, you need to make a decision to risk it. If you're risking something by default, it's because you don't know any other way to do it, and so you're just trying to get it over with, you know? It's kind of like, you ever been in a situation before where you're really uncomfortable, and so you say something you know everyone's going to get pissed off about just so the conversation's over? Like, you just want to blow it up and be done with it altogether? Like, you ever been in an argument with somebody before, and then you say something mean just because you want it to be over, you know?
Yeah.
You know they're going to get mad, you know they're going to get pissed and leave, but at least now you're not arguing anymore? Like, you don't like it, you know? So you say something to get rid of everything? That's like a purging tactic, you know, because you don't like sitting in that space of like discomfort, you know. But instead of doing that, you have to ask yourself whether or not it's an unnecessary risk, really. And most risks are unnecessary. When you become more calculated with your risk, then you'll have more success, you know. I'm glad we're talking about this, because this is like something that wouldn't have come up otherwise, you know. And it's, I get to talk to both of you about two totally different things. Those are two totally different things that both of you need to work on, you know. They just happen to cross paths in that moment, you know. But the natural reaction, though, just to kind of give you an idea, the direction you guys were going is, you were saying, "Well, I'm going to stay the same," And you were saying, well, I'm going to stay the same. That was the conversation you guys just had.
Yeah, I realized that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to do.
It's easier to see that now, like, looking back, you know? But the reason why you did that is because you both felt rejected by each other in that moment. Like, he was trying to be nice, and he felt rejected. And you were, you felt dominated, so you felt rejected, you know? Like, both of you felt rejected, so what are you both doing? You're like, I'm not changing. He needs to change, you know? But that doesn't get you anywhere. That won't make you a 10, you know? It's funny that came up during a 10 exercise, which I think is perfect. that's the perfect time for it to come up, because it's really fresh in our minds. So I'm going to continue now, but I would love to hear more of these things. Anything like that, like a deep-rooted insecurity that you don't see that pops up like that, anytime you get that feeling that's like, well, I'm not going to change, then you know that's your ego talking, and you know that's not good for you. It's an insecurity. And of course, at the center of every insecurity is a belief that isn't true.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Hypersensitivity to authenticity. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And
Brad has that too.
How do I turn that from a problem to an advantage?
Brad? Brad had to do this.
Because I think this would be the number one thing, because I will be listening to people and I'm like, oh, you're full of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've got enough body language and else as my own, and you can ask Brad, and you'll be like, wow, you really are full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of have a high-powered rifle, and you have no idea how to use it.
Yeah. Well, I've
got... Because you study body language.
I've studied,
like, CIA level, FBI level.
I've got the reading part down, but I don't have the, what you call it, writing, like, the acting part. I suck at.
Yeah, basically, you have the weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have this badass gun, and you're like, all right.
Okay.
So you're like, I can see it, you're dominating me. But what do you do with that? How do you make that work to your advantage?
Yes, I don't know.
Well, first of all, you can go, oh, that's cool. Like, I mean, just last night, one of the guys that I met, you know, he kept patting me on the back or whatever, and I was like, oh, that's cool, and I just, you know, touch him on the side and be like, yeah, it's great to meet you, and then he would touch me once more, yeah, okay, cool, you're an American. I was like, yeah, see you inside, you know? Just, it's a game. I turn it into a game. I'm not like, that fucker tried to dominate me, you know? Because that was my first.
I'm seeing Brad, like, whenever you're talking about that, so that's why I wanted
especially,
to say
that. And that's why I lusted after the knowledge of body language, right? Which is, I'm guessing, what you did. It's like, yes, now I'm going to know when all those guys try to dominate me. I'm going to know exactly when it's happening. And eventually, I mean, I learned it, and I was like, okay, well, it doesn't make them, like, bad people. Most of them don't even know they do it. Like, they learn it from their fathers or whatever. They learn how to be, like, a dominant guy, and that's just how they are. You know, when they shake someone's hand, they, you know, they pat them on the arm. You know, like, that's just what they do. They're not like, I'm going to dominate this little bitch.
Usually it's a brotherhood thing.
Yeah.
Usually it's like they see you as an equal, so they're like trying to invite you into it, because that's what they did with other people.
So this is really cool. That's a really great point. You can actually immediately be their friend by just showing them that you understand that world. Subconsciously, they have no idea what the fuck's going on. They're just so they go around and they shake everybody's hand. Can we show everybody?
Yeah, I was just about to do this. So perfect.
Do you want
to? Yeah, no, it's okay.
So this is like a dominant guy, like in business, like people who are experienced in business or leaders, you know, in some sort of leadership position. If they shake someone's hand, they'll typically do something like this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so... really what they're saying is, okay, if you're part of the, like, 90% of the world who doesn't understand leadership and success, then this is all that will happen.
Okay.
This, right here. I will, dominate you. But it's not, like, a bad thing.
It's not
just
domineering. It's just dominance.
It's just, I'm a leader and you're a follower. That's okay.
Or maybe not. Or maybe you're another leader.
Yeah.
I prefer to be another leader.
So, okay. That's now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Now we can use your weapon or your understanding, not think of it as a weapon, of course, but use your understanding of this other language and speak the fucking language. Okay, so what do you think you would do in this situation to communicate to me that you also understand leadership?
I could do this.
There you go.
Yeah. But when you do that, you're leaning forward, so...
All right, yeah.
I would do this. Let me just unhook here, because why not? I want to join in.
Okay.
So Brad, do it to me. So, like this, you know. So one of my favorite things to do is to do the elbow.
Oh, the elbow. Yeah.
Because I can actually do is And you can see it over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I'll do is, as you touch my shoulder, you can't actually move my shoulder because that's too domineering. But I can do this, and I can move your elbow.
Move
just
the
a
elbow
bit.
In. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can make. It's very nice to meet you.
And
I'll actually
shift
move your arm,
the palm right that way.
No, that don't do that.
Okay. Yeah.
No, because then this becomes a battle. Like
yeah.
You don't.
Yeah,
no
yeah, yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so, for me, if someone ever does that, so if you
if
did
they
that,
offer their hand like that instead.
No, I always do that, but I always do this.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's not about like battling. It's like showing them that you know. You
it's
know the
secret
dance.
Handshake.
It's a dance. You know?
It is.
Okay.
It's like a dominant man secret handshake,
yeah.
You know?
So I've seen it so many times. As soon as I learned that language, it's really cool that you know that. Now you use it, you know? As soon as I learned that and I started doing it, I was like, I always thought like maybe it would be this battle every single time. Like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, until you're handling each other's heads.
Yeah, exactly. But really, it's just like, oh, cool, you're on this level too. You understand the secret handshake.
Also,
okay, so
another elbow is great. That one I love because you can move it a little bit, and they
yeah.
feel their arm move a little bit, and they actually relax their arm in the socket, and they give up the power of their arm to you. It's like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah,
funniest
yeah.
thing ever to see that happen. But
you
as soon as you...
with women too, right?
Yeah, but I don't ever do that with women because I don't need to. Like that's a women don't do this. Like if I saw a girl, if I was shaking a girl's hand, I might be like this, you know, and be like,
yeah,
well,
okay.
Like that.
It's more like sexual dominance.
Yeah, it's like a calm, like acceptance, mm-hmm. like a you're safe here kind of
yeah.
Environment. You know, I'm not gonna make Brad feel safe because if I thought he was weak, I would be. I need to make this man feel safe, right? So it's not like it's like disrespectful for me to be like, hey, it's you know, how you doing? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, oh, you're so weak, I got to make you feel cuddled and taken care of, you know? Instead, I'm going to be like, oh, you're obviously dominant, you know? So that's okay. So let me just respect that. And then, okay, good. Another thing you can do, though, you ever had someone squeeze your hand really hard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the worst
is awesome.
The worst reaction you could ever have to anybody is to notice it, right? Because that means that you notice that there's like an extra pressure, you know? I'd love to borrow you, Jacob, for a second to see if
yeah.
you can squeeze my hand, and I'll show you this. Anytime I notice... that someone is squeezing my hand like really hard. So let's see. I'll show it right here. So we go to shake, and then they squeeze really hard like this, like you know, really strong. I just do this. Keep going.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah. No matter what happens now, and I don't have to do it very much. I can just do that, and I'll keep looking at them in the eyes. Because what'll happen is they'll start squeezing, and I'll be like, yeah, it's very nice to meet you.
And then I'll
pretend like it was just a normal handshake, and then whoever I just did this to is super flustered. Because now it's like, fuck, you know? So then I can keep having a conversation. I know what's going on in their mind. They're like, fuck, I gotta get this guy's a fucking dick, like in their heads. And I was like, hey, man, so is this your party? Or it's like, I'm totally acting like I didn't see it. And I give them a back door to bow out of it. And then almost 100% of the time they bow out of it. And they're like, hey, man, let me get you a drink. And like, holy
so
crap.
Just in these two fingers.
Yeah,
because
it.
Lock eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, you always want to lock eyes.
So you always pay attention to how
yeah.
strong they are.
Yeah, so I don't ever do that until I start to feel it squeeze too hard. And as soon as I feel the squeeze, I just let it, I let my bones move like that. Like it's natural, you know?
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Barely at all, you know? Just like so it's barely splitting. And what it does is it takes your bones out of alignment. And then you can't squeeze your bones together, you know? The worst thing to do is try to squeeze back because then your bones are in perfect alignment. And then the strongest person squeezes the other one really hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
a, it's another ninja, like a, it's another ninja technique, a dominance technique thing, I guess. But again,
so,
there's a big difference between dominance and being dominant and domineering.
Mm-hmm.
Domineering is trying to have power over someone. Dominance is just having power. It's a very big difference. It's not directed at anybody. Does that make sense? Trying to think about what else there is. Negative body language is one of the best things to do and I'll teach you a little bit about that in a minute. But I might as well go ahead and give another example, though. This is one of my favorites, too. Brad, if I can borrow you. Brad's the funniest ever because when I met Brad, just because. when I met Brad, he's so much taller than me. And then every time I was around him, he was like super submissive because I'm a really big personality. And I wasn't afraid to draw him into my space and everything, and he was afraid to draw me into his in the beginning. I remember we had a lot of conversations where you'd be like almost at tears talking to me, and I was like, you know, it's okay,
yeah,
everything's okay. So whenever you notice someone's got a reaction to you that could be negative, like in whatever way for whatever reason, or like they're trying to dominate you, or even if they feel submissive to you, one of the best things to do is use. Trigger a body language, or use body language to trigger a friendship. It's like a natural thing that we do. And the way to do that is we don't have to shake hands or anything to do this, But if I noticed that Brad was like pissed off or like mad, I wouldn't face him like this because this is a standoffish stance. I would do this, and I would talk to him like this, and I wouldn't even go like this talking that way. I would just be talking like this and blah 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 blah, and I'd look up every once in a while, you know. Because this is what friends do, right? So I'm like, I'm literally opening up our conversation to you guys, right? So it's not about us anymore, like butting heads. It's about the two of us standing together as friends, you know? And this is what he starts to think in his head when he's standing next to someone like this, you know? So if you notice something weird ever in any interaction, whether you know it's dominance or submission or whatever it is you're seeing in them, turn like this and start talking and all the discomfort will go away. You know, they'll feel accepted by you. Is that making sense to everyone? It's not enough just to know what body language is. It's also not enough to know how to dominate people or to know one thing about body language. Yeah, the whole point is that it's a language.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying learning body language is like learning any other language. You can't just learn the words that are like if you couldn't just learn words about food and say you know how to speak a language. You know, you can know how to order food. That's all you could do. You have to be able to do anything, to say anything you want.
Yeah.
With the combinations of your body language. And so if you know a lot about it and you studied a lot, then and you haven't applied it yet, obviously, you know what I'm going to say about that. You know,
yeah.
Knowledge is a means of application. I think that's stupid. I don't think that's smart. I think the smart thing is using it.
I've applied some of it, but I need to refresh on it.
Yeah, refresh. And then as
love
you learn...
reading list, actually.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, cool. As you learn, don't learn more than one concept. Learn one concept, stop, put the book down, and then go practice it. And then come back and then learn one more. If you keep learning new concepts and you don't practice them, this is how you get into a mode of like overlearning. Oh, this is called paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
You know, you start to get like analyze everything and read a whole bunch and then you don't do anything. And then all of a sudden you've got all this knowledge. And what happens then is that you're super hard on yourself because you're like, I should know this. But why is this a problem for me? Well, that's true. You do know it. You should be using it. But if you're not, if you don't get in the habit of using it, just like touch. If you don't anchor it to something, then the knowledge never gets used. You know what I mean? This is going to be very important for what I'm about to teach you. Because this is a combination of, like I said, touch and negative body language together in each of the stages. So this is called my 1-5 guide. I think I put this in the Tao of Badass. I think I did. It's a really important part of the process. I hope I did. Oh, maybe I didn't. I think I actually went through touch separately and negative body language separately in the Tao of Badass. So this is the combination of the two of them together. If you don't do both of these together, it won't work very well, at least. It'll work some, but not very well. So what I'd like you guys to do is kind of, you don't have a very big piece of paper, so maybe you turn it sideways and do this, and write tiny. But on the left-hand side, in kind of a column, like going up and down, on the first line, I want you to write approach, just the top left. You're going to have to write a couple things to the right of this, though, so, you know, make sure you leave room.
Sure.
Underneath approach, so you write approach to the top. You don't have to write draw lines yet or anything. Just write top left. Approach. Underneath that, write DHV. So DHV, which is demonstrate high value, right? That's the banter time. You can also put a slash and then put, you know, banter or something, so you can remember what stage it is, when you do it.
For what? Not for both of these?
No, just for DHV. DHV slash banter, because that's when you banter. Yeah, during that stage. And then underneath that, write qualify. So these are different stages, as you can clearly tell, you know. Approach is just like when you first walk up, though, that's all. And then underneath that, write rapport. And then under that, write seduction. So I'm going to go through these five different sort of, the first three are sub-stages, and then the last two are full stages. And I'm going to go over the body language changes for each one and the touch changes for each one. So if you know what stage you're in, if you can figure out what stage you're in that moment, you can know what body language you should have and what touch you should have in that moment. This is like, this is the shit, you know? So it's a very important part of this process. So let's start with approach. Before I go into anything, there are three different types of touch. Like types of touch, not places to touch. There's lots of places to touch, but three different types of touch. During all of the attraction stages, like, introduction, demonstrating high value, and qualifying, you're going to use something called temporary touch. Temporary touch is only, you only keep it on 1 to 3 seconds. and then you take it off. If it's more than 3 seconds, you're not in temporary touch anymore. You've advanced to another stage of touch. And if you advance touch without advancing body language or advancing the interaction to that level, you get rejected. This is a recipe for rejection. You know, anytime you jump outside of this, you're stepping into a risky zone. You know, and if you stay there too long or keep pushing one forward but not the other two, like the negative body language and then pushing the interaction forward, which is like the different stages, then you won't. Then it won't work. Is this making sense so far? I mean, I haven't gone into detail yet, but do you guys understand what I'm talking about here? What I'm saying is that when you walk up to a girl and you're talking and then you realize you weren't paying attention to what stage you're in, you can figure out what stage you're in by looking at what she's doing and what you're talking about and what you're saying, you know? You can align your body language and your touch with that stage so that you're in union and you're in sync the whole time and you're not incongruent. So she won't feel weird around you as you push forward. She'll feel comfortable as you push forward. This is something that I had to, in my mind, put together after a long, long, long time of studying. So I would take this very seriously. So temporary touch is for all three, approach, demonstrating high value, and qualifying. And then when you get to, and I'll tell you where you can touch in a moment for those stages. When you get to rapport, you're going to use something called lingering touch. Lingering touch is 3 to 5 seconds long. Again, if you have to in your head while you're touching here, you can be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then take your hand off. You know, like I did that. That's what I would do all the time. I would just talk, and I would know how long I was talking. You know, 5 seconds is about. You know, if I start right now and I'm talking for a little while, 5 seconds is about like maybe right here. You know, and then I would stop. So I had an idea in my mind about how much I would say in a sentence before I had to take my hand off. Temporary, I was just like, boom, as fast as I could take it off, I would. You know, hey, how's it going? Get over here. Okay, go away. No, that's how I was. Like, hey, high five. Okay, that's it. The end. You know, hey, nice to meet you. Stop. Right. It's all like there, back, there, back. You go in, you come out like that, really fast. So that's, and then rapport, you have lingering touch, and then seduction, you have constant touch. That's where you don't take your hands off. You just slide from one place to another. Does that make sense? Instead of like if I had my hand on your shoulder and you were a girl, well, I don't know, if you were a guy and I was in seduction with you, I would still, if I wanted to touch your leg, I would slide from your shoulder down to your leg. I wouldn't take my hand off and touch your leg. It's not like an attack, you know? Is this all making sense so far? So those are three different types of touch. You know that you can look and tell, clearly tell which major stage you're in by just how the interaction's going. In the beginning, you're in attraction. If you're deep in rapport, then you're like leaning, sitting, talking to each other about real shit. And you know you should have lingering touch. And if you're like getting sexual in any kind of way, you know you should have constant touch, okay? So like that should be the quickest thing to remember. Like that should be easy to remember, okay? You gonna shut the window? Damn churches. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about negative body language and touch in each of these different minor stages. So during the approach, the most important thing to remember when you first walk up to a girl, and you can break this rule, but if you break it and then you break other rules, you're screwed. You won't go anywhere. So you can afford always to break one of these rules and still get away with it. If you want it to be really smooth, you'll turn your brain off and you'll just do this and you'll do it all right. If you don't, and I'm using right very loosely here, but you'll do it in a way that naturally flows, like downstream, you know? You won't be a salmon. Salmons don't get laid. They get caught. They made into sushi. Somehow that's a metaphor. So during the approach, when you first walk up, you only want to face your head toward the girl. Just turn your head to talk to her that way. Your chest and your legs should not be facing her yet. Like I said, you can break this rule, but you'll have to use a lot of negative body language in order to, like a lot of takeaways in order to make it work otherwise. Connor, can I get you to just hold it, put the camera tripod up for a second and show me and Brad talking?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you guys what it looks like to do a takeaway. Takeaways are, without a doubt, the most powerful attraction technique for body language. It's counterintuitive. No one does it unless you learn to do it.
Did you see me do?
Yeah. I know you were watching.
Yeah, it's a very powerful technique. What happens is when you're talking to a girl, okay, so if Brad was a girl and I was talking, I'd be, blah, 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 blah. This is Brad's girl.
Look at your tattoo.
Oh, yeah, geez. That is really, that's really what happens really if I go to a bar. But I'm talking like this, and I'm bantering, right? And as soon as I start bantering, I'm going to turn a little bit this way, right? Just a little bit. And then as soon as I say something that's like, you know, oh, you're trouble, right? And then I get a response back from trouble. As soon as I get a response, it's like that, what? I always go, whoa. See this? I'm like totally turning away like this. I'll go, whoa, come on. And then I'll turn back over here. And I go, you know what? And I'll look over, I'll look away, and I'll be like, you know what? You're okay. Just don't touch me. You know? Like, I'm like, here you go, I accept you. Not really. Yes, I do. No, I don't. You know, have you ever done this before? Where it's like, here. Nope. Uh-huh. No, for real. You think, ah. You know, it's kind of like that over and over again. Sorry, I don't mean to make you feel like an asshole. But that's a takeaway. Takeaways are so important. If you only do one thing in your body language, in this entire course, takeaway. The reason why you don't do it, though, is because the conversation is going really well, and the last thing you want to do is go this, because you're like, I'm going to turn around, she's going to be gone, right? But she's not going to be gone. Trust me. She's going to be closer. Usually what happens, and you can do this, is you'll turn like this, and then she'll start trying to get your attention by grabbing you.
Hey.
And then every girl in the bar sees this, and she invests a ton of energy into this process. Is it making sense?
Yeah.
This is very, very important. I had a guy who was at a bar once, and I was like, okay, so he asked me to teach him one technique. And I was like, okay, I got it. I know exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. I was like, walk up to that girl and stick your hand out like this. Don't ask me why, but she'll take your hand. Okay, when she does, spin her around in circles like this, like twirl her, you know, around. And then as soon as she spins around and she faces you again, turn around like this and put your hands up. And I said, just look at me after that. And he goes, okay. So he walked over. He's like this. He was really brave and he just did it, which is awesome. She was like dancing by herself and no one else was dancing around her. You know that girl?
Okay.
She's like this and like being super sexy, you know? And all the guys are like drinking their drinks and like, I'm going to go in there and talk to her. So you go talk to her. You go talk to her the whole time. And like, and he goes over, sticks his hand out, twirls her around, and then he turns around to me and he goes like this, you know? And then from behind him, I see her hands reach around, and she grabbed his shirt, his button-up shirt, and she ripped the buttons off of his shirt, and then started feeling on his chest and stomach, and he was like, looking at me like, what the fuck? He wasn't even a student, it was just some random dude. And he was like, yeah, but he didn't know what to do after that. He was like, okay. I walked off. Thanks, Simon. But that is so powerful that you can do that alone and it will work. Okay, this is really important. The twirling thing, by the way, is one of my favorite things to do. But if you tell a class of students to do this, and you go out to a bar and girls are dizzy, they're just like, it's like, hey, hi, nice to meet you. You know, but that doesn't matter. I've twirled a girl before, and she was like, you're the third person to twirl me tonight. I was like, okay, that's a boot camp, you know? So I was like, that's because you're so twirlable. You know, I twirled her again. Like, it doesn't matter. It's totally fine. But I used to have a fear when I was, you know, before I started doing this a lot, that it would stand out. You know, I have these really weird, irrational fears. It's not that complicated, I promise. It's not that hard either. In your mind, if it's hard, then you're just making it difficult just because you want to have an excuse to not be good at it. There's really no reason why you shouldn't be good at this because it's really easy to do.
You can do that on the approach straight away.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Especially at nighttime. Did you do it last night?
I saw when you talking about it. I tried it out.
Oh, yeah.
And I did the walking away and she was like grabbing me.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, really?
And
yep.
I was like, no. I just walked away because I didn't know what's happening.
Yeah, that is how it is, really. I mean, you have to practice it, obviously, but it is a very easy thing to do and it works really well. But ultimately, if you forget the twirl thing, the more important part of that process is the negative body language, is the takeaway of negative body language, okay? This is really important. If you don't add this into every interaction that you have, you won't generate nearly enough attraction to get a girl to want to talk to you more, okay? Let's see. Okay, so let's move on. I already said that you have to face your head toward her in the beginning. So when you first walk up, just as your head's facing her, and you want to touch her up outer arm area, usually with the back of your hand, like lightly. Be careful. A lot of guys who aren't used to touching girls, like I wasn't used to it either, I would like touch a girl and I would move her shoulder like back when I touched her, and that's it's a sign that I don't know my own strengths, I guess, as a man, so I'm not able to, even though I'm not that strong, I mean, look at me, you know. But women are really dainty, and they want to feel dainty, so they don't want to feel like you don't understand how to interact with a girl, like how to be soft with her, because then she'll think that when you're in the bedroom, you're just going to like if she says no, you're not going to stop. You know what I mean? There's like a, there's an association with that. Does that make sense? She won't feel safe with you physically. So you really lightly, you can touch the outside of her arm, like with the palm of your hand if you want to, just for 1 to 3 seconds, or with the, I usually use the outside of my hand, and I'm like, look, you know, blah, blah. And never look at your hand when you're doing it. And never look at where you're going to touch either. So you always look at her or somewhere else, right? So if I was like, hey, check this out. Like, I always do that a lot. Check out this guy, right? Or check out that chick. You know, I love playing a game called Fuck, Marry, Kill in the bar. And that's like if you get stuck and you don't know what to do, you can say, okay, let's play a game. It's called Fuck, Marry, Kill. I'm going to point to a guy in this bar, and I want you to tell me, would you rather fuck him, marry him, or kill him? Right? So if you want to be like PG, you can say kiss, marry, slap, which is like the PG version of that, right? But I always say fuck because I want them to hear me say fuck, you know? And I want them to know that I'm the kind of guy who says fuck because they're going to think about that. They're going to be more open to a bad boy part of me, especially since I don't look like a bad boy, I have tattoos. But besides that, I'm not really like a bad boy personality. So I can bring out my sexuality a lot. It doesn't seem like I'm going anywhere with it. I just kind of am sexual. So anyway, I would be like, okay, looking around, and I'd be like, okay. And I would touch the outside of her arm, and I would go, how about this guy, you know? And she'd be like, oh, kill, you know, usually. It's like, what? You wouldn't want to marry him? Like, I always make a joke, but whatever their answer is, it's wrong, you know? Like, or if she's like, oh, I would marry him, I'd be like, well, let me introduce you. I was like, no, don't introduce me, you know? I mean, I've introduced a girl I was talking to a guy she said she would marry, and then they hung out all night long. And they went home together. And I was like, great, you know? The worst possible case scenario is that this fucking guy goes, thanks, man, you know? That's it. Okay, you have a new friend for life now. You know? It's kind of how it is. The best case scenario is that she comes back and she was like, he is not cool, and she's now comparing him to you. And you are cool. So now you know she likes you, which is usually what happens, you know? So anyway, Fuck, Marry, Kill is a really fun game. But I would do that. I would use that touch during that process. Does that make sense? And even so, I'm still, if I just met her, I'm turning my head only and I'm playing the game with her, you know? It's just, it's whatever you need to do in order to make this work, you know? In natural conversation. If it doesn't feel natural, then she's going to feel strange too, but nothing feels natural in the beginning, so it's let you give yourself a little bit of, you know, leeway, a little bit of room for improvement around this area. So anyway, during that very beginning, just touch her outer arm and just turn your head toward her. As soon as you start bantering with her and joking, the first time a banter line comes out of your mouth and you're like, oh, look at you, you're in trouble or you're silly or whatever, then you have to turn, you want to turn your chest toward her as well. Kind of your shoulders and your chest. All right, so you're going to turn your shoulders toward her. Remember, you can still do a takeaway and you should do a takeaway, especially during banter. During banter is a time that you do takeaways. It's the ultimate time. Oh, you're just breathing.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say something. So it's the ultimate time to do a takeaway. So you're bantering and joking. Your chest is facing toward her, but your feet are still not facing toward her. You don't need to turn your feet the opposite. You're not like, trying to do this. Like, hey, like, what's going on? You know? But you can be like, if I'm going to face you and I'm going to give you my shoulders and my head, it'll be like this. You know? My feet are facing this way. And I'm talking to you this way. But another thing I didn't mention on here is where your weight is. So if I'm talking to you like this, I'm for sure going to come back like this. This is another takeaway. It's just a soft takeaway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm putting my weight on my front foot, and then I'll take it and put it on my back foot. And if I put it on my back foot, I might like make it seem like it's something that I'm staying away from, you know? Anytime I come to my front foot, I'm not going to lean over. I'm just going to lean my weight over like this, you know? Is this making sense to you guys? You have to kind of get back into your hips a little bit. You know, one way to do that is to dance, if you guys don't dance already, but or to take lessons. But get it so you can set down on your hips, kind of like a Greek statue. You know, a lot of Greek statues, you see them kind of weight off to the side like this. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot because it gives me a lot of room to move around. I can do this, and this is like a really big body language shift for me. Is that making sense? So here I am facing my feet this way, and then my head and my chest are facing you guys. And I'm like, oh, you're trouble, get out of here, I don't want any trouble, you know, whatever. And I might do like this and lean back, and then I might go, did you come all the way over here just to flirt with me? And she's like, I didn't come over here. I'm like, whoa, come on now. You know, there's enough for me to go around. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm just acting. I'm just being an actor in that moment. I'm playing and having fun.
So that's the whole feeling of most of the beginning of an interaction. Just your head in the beginning, and then you'll turn and you'll use your chest and your head to face her. Touch, whenever you get into banter, you can like start to put your arm around her for a second maybe, like, or touch her upper back, that kind of stuff. I wouldn't put my arm around her yet. Actually, I put a note that you should wait till the next one, because the next stage is much more conducive for that. But you can break that rule or bend it a little bit if you want to. Ultimately, though, you're going to be like, you can put your arm in her upper back a little bit. You can use your palm more than you did with the back of your hand before. You know, wherever you touched with the back of your hand last time, you can now touch with your palm in some kind of way. But remember, you're still lingering. You're still temporary touch. So you're going to 1 to 3 seconds, and that's it. Is that clear? Okay, so once you get through that stage of demonstrating high value, eventually you're going to get to a place of qualifying. You're like, I'm having a really great time, right? So the feeling you have before you say, I'm having a really great time, and you go into the qualifying stage, is you, like, turning your back a bunch, coming back, you're laughing a lot, you're bantering, you're making jokes. Your feet really aren't facing toward her for any long period of time, maybe just a couple seconds, if anything, then you take it away again. You know, and you're doing this sort of like, I'm facing you, I'm not facing you. I'm facing you, I'm not facing you kind of game, you know? But it's in the conversation. It flows with the conversation. Is it making sense?
Yeah.